Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with My Ex. We have an amazing guest today, and I'm so excited. What's up, Jerry?
What's up, Yurti? How you doing? What's vibing?
You know what's funny? God, we don't have after hours anymore. We don't have after hours anymore, so I can't use my after hours voice. So I got to kind of hit it with the early little, you know, welcome to Conversations with My Ex with Yurti and Jerry. And like we said, we got a special guest today. We got my guy, Bo Tilly. Bo Tilly and
Bo.
We met Bo. What up, Bo? me and Bo met through football, man. We play flag football together. And we've just been cool. Bo's a funny, cool guy. And I thought, you know, he had an interesting story that we wanted to dig a little bit into, and I wanted to have him on a podcast. So
yeah.
Bo, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I moved here. I moved to Boston about 3 years ago.
Where from?
Madison, Wisconsin. But I'm originally from Chicagoland area. So, I do love it out here. And then, yeah, Jerry mentioned I met him through football. When I moved here, I didn't have any friends really. So I was like trying to join sports leagues and things like that to meet people. And met a really good group with Jerry and, you know, and our other friends. So
I totally feel you on that. Like not trying to make friends when you move and like joining sports. Cause
shit,
I've done it.
We have a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
Making friends as adults is tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
But
making friends and like moving and stuff. Like, it's a difficult situation. Well, you're my friend now too. We only know through like Facebook or Instagram, but like, you know, we can be friends now too. Yeah.
But I don't think we knew each other when me and your two were dating. Do you remember?
I don't know.
I don't think so. We just missed because we got on the team together like 2.5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Me and your two had just broken up. So I was just saying, yeah, because you saw a single Jerry, Bo. You saw me when I was out in the streets. I said it like I'm not still.
Like, no, you said it like you're different when you're in a relationship.
I am. You telling me I wasn't, your two? I wasn't out in the streets cheating
and
shit. You know?
Not cheating, but you were out in the streets. Let's not get into this again. Okay?
I'm always in the streets. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the streets. I live in the streets. Anyway, cheers, y'all. Good morning.
Cheers.
Y'all drink y'all water. I'll drink my mimosa because my homeboy is about to meet my homeboy.
Listen, I'm practicing on like that non-drinking because I'm going to a festival, right? And it's a 3-day festival and my goal is to stay sober the entire festival. So,
right, you hear that shit, Bo? Yeah.
Good luck.
She said all types of sober too. I was like, how much drugs you going to
do?
She like, none. I'm going to be sober.
And like, Bo, you don't know me. So like, I like to go out and party and
you're
drink.
You're too turned up, bro. You have to turn up.
Yeah, but so like this time when I was saying like I'm staying sober, people that know me, they're like, what are you talking about? Sounds like, yeah, I want to bet money. I need some cash, so Jerry, let's do this.
Right, whatever, but I guess so, Bo, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk to you about was really like, you know, you said you moved to Boston. You didn't really know anybody. You didn't have any friends.
Yep.
You know, how did you cope with it initially? What was your rock? What was your situation?
It was a little different because it was definitely tough because I was working from home at my job at the time. So it's not like I was, going into the office to meet people and things like that. And the only person I really knew was, my ex fiance.
We're getting some tea.
early. It's early. I moved here for her. And so really, she had like her core group of friends from improv and stuff like that and work. So she kind of was already a little established. She had been out here for a little while. So, so it was tough cause I only really had her, and back home, like I wasn't like the man or anything, but like I had a lot of friends.
Hey,
like,
listen, bro, he being modest, Bo was definitely the man. I already know that shit. I know that. He out here lying. He out here capping, straight capping.
But it was weird to like be Friday, Saturday, and I didn't really know where to, like, I didn't have anybody like hit up to go out. I had like my friends on Xbox, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I feel you. Like, I moved to Lithuania 6 months ago, and 3 of those months, it was like a complete lockdown, if not 4. Like, we're not even allowed to go anywhere. And because I didn't have friends and family, like, I didn't even go to, like, illegal fucking parties. I was just home with my parents all the time. So now I was like, oh, I kind of, like, want to go out. But at the same time, when I do go out, I'm like, the fuck am I doing here? All these 22-year-olds are, like, not my vibe, you know? So, but, like, yeah, right. I feel you.
Yeah.
And how was that? So, like, you moved here for your ex, right? You moved to Boston. I didn't know that, actually. I had no clue that you moved here for her.
Oh, got you.
But so, yeah. So when you did that, how much of a, like,
how much did you have hassle was it for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, cause that's tough, man. I've never even me and Yurti, I guess, imagined it. We talked about it.
That's why we broke up, because we imagined it. Cause
you're like, I got to move to the UK. I got to do this. Yeah. Married, you know, like, but how was the tension on that? How does that dynamic work for you?
So, I mean, like, I grew up in the Midwest basically my whole life. So,
to our non-American listeners, explain what a Midwest is.
Oh, so like the Midwest part of the country. So, like, I'm from Illinois.
It's not even Midwest. The funny part about that, it's the middle. Like,
yeah, it's like the very middle of America. Middle of the country. Like, the middle north part of the country is basically all I've really known. So, I was kind of looking to make a change anyway. And, you know, when I was dating my ex at the time, we were doing long distance for about a year, and I would visit here quite a bit, and I really enjoyed the city. So I was like, you know, just try it and see what happens. But, you know, at the time, like, you're in love, and it's like you'll do anything to, like, make it work. And, like, I was like, I'm going to marry this girl, so, I'm going to do whatever. You know, to be with her.
So, obviously, I moved. things didn't work out. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Things didn't work out. I want the tea. I want to know when you realized, or like, what happened? Like, you guys are not together. Like, what happened?
I think over time you kind of, you realize, like, when you're doing long distance and then now you're around each other every day, you learn a lot about each other within, like, your first 3 months or so. We were also in, like, a very small apartment here in Beacon
very
Hill.
Small.
And it's so small. So we're always on top of each other. There's no separation. Like, I see her every day. I was working from home at the time. So, like, she would go into the office and come back. And, like, she's very, like, bubbly personality. Like, you know, like, my puppies, like, whenever I get home, they're always, like, wanting to, like, say hi and
happy
stuff
to see
that.
You and shit.
And, like, my energy levels was not the same. So, like, it got to the point where I was like, dude, just, like, leave me alone and things like that. But, like, you understand.
I can feel the weight of it just by listening to it. I know how it feels.
And I think I was dealing a little bit with, like, the stress of, like, being in a new city, not having a lot of friends. And she was very established. So, like, I was very much trying to, like, go out and meet people. And that's not really her lifestyle, which is fine. Like, she's more, like, she likes to be more low-key, chill. Kind of like a homebody, totally fine. But, like, as we were living together, those lifestyles kind of clashed quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, over time, you kind of realize it's, like, my mentality was, like, can we do this forever, you know? It's, like, marriage is, like, forever. I grew up in divorce. My parents got divorced when I was very young, and my mom's been divorced. She's on her third marriage, but it works now. She's good.
Congratulations
now.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah, congrats, Mom.
Yeah, my stepdad's awesome. He's a really cool guy. But I grew up in divorce. So it's really all I know. So it really scared me. And it's like I wanted to be so sure. And with all the things, it was just like you kind of just grew apart over time.
Yeah.
What? So, like, you guys had a long distance relationship initially. Did you guys date before that? Like, how did that even start?
So her and I were, so I met her trying to recruit her for a job, actually.
Oh my God. Okay. You know, dipping your pen in the company ink. What's wrong with you, Bo?
So I was working at Verizon, and she was working in the mall, and, through, like, mutual contacts, they were like, yeah, she would be really good for this role. So I went to go see her. I had no idea what she looked like or anything like that. And then I, like, saw her, and I was like,
hey, I'm on.
Yeah, like, oh shit.
She's coming with me.
I'm home. I'm home, bro. Hey, fuck these phones.
Yeah. I'm home. Like, I was like, I remember like not being able to like really formulate good sentences. I don't even really know.
Oh, you was crushing, bro.
Yeah, I was like, crushing. Wow, like, yeah, I don't know. But so I was with my manager at the time, and he saw, like, it was like in Black Panther when like he sees his ex for the first time, he freezes. That's how it was. So then my manager, he kind of took over, but like she ended up turning us down, but like then like through mutual
friends.
She ain't
turned you down though.
Well, she did for a while. Like, what? we were very friend zoned for like years, and then like we didn't become like super close until right before she moved out here to Boston.
That's not always. Oh, and then, I wonder. Always be, bro.
Yeah, I wonder if her moving like sparked, you know, like some fear in you, and. Like, I'm just thinking because I think, I know like Jerry's behavior switched when I said I'm leaving the country.
Well, same switched when I said I was leaving Detroit.
I think that
puts a
like
lot of pressure
instant.
On you. You're like, oh shit, I feel this way. Like, I think I told Yurti I loved her right before I left to Boston.
Fuck you for that. You ain't shit.
And she was so mad, bro. She was so mad.
You
I'm like,
ain't
my
shit.
Bad. I just,
that's unfair.
I guess this is how I feel.
Bye.
That's funny.
All right.
How did that work? The pressure of the, you know, was there pressure? Did you?
I think there was like, I think we both, when we would hang out, we would kind of know that, you know, if the stars aligned, we would like each other. And like, we drunkenly hooked up one time in like back home before she moved. But then we were still friends, like, after that. Like, it was, like, mad normal. Yeah. But
yeah,
then...
It was
but there was
normal.
Always,
was
like, that thing there, like, in the back.
It was
like, and, like, in the back of our minds, we were always, like, kind of wondering. But after she moved, I came out to visit a little after my birthday. And then, like, all of her friends there were, like, we see it. Like, we could tell. Like,
so
there was, like, unspoken. Yeah, it was obvious, right? So then I moved back, or I went back home, and then I came and visited a couple times later. And then we were like, let's just try this long distance. And then a year later, I ended up moving here.
In Boston.
It feels just way too familiar.
Bro, for real.
I don't know how much you... Oh, you probably don't know anything about my and Jerry story, but... We were
not really
on and off through ups and downs for like 2.5 years total. And we did the long distance and no distance. And it was just, yeah. So
hating
like,
each
oh,
other.
This,
and
just,
we did everything.
Yeah,
every type of way of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't. I guess we never lived together. That was the one thing we didn't do. Right. We never had what
we
you ended
together.
Up doing. You moving. You taking that leap of faith.
Yeah.
To move over there.
So how long did it take you for you to like realize that you ain't working? Like, was it a couple of weeks? How long did it take you?
So we got engaged, I think it was a month after I moved. And like I knew so I bought our ring back. Yeah, so it was like literally like a month after I moved.
Because y'all were engaged when I met you.
But it was like so like we probably met you like maybe 2 months after I moved, I think. Because I played like the later summer session. But so like I knew like I was going to propose to her before I moved. So like I moved in like end of May, and I probably bought the ring. There was like... some pretty good Valentine's Day deals. Like, I bought one back in February.
This is the funny part. If that wouldn't have worked out between February and May, you was marrying somebody, motherfucker. You was ready. You like,
somebody.
Somebody getting his ring, bro.
No, somebody gonna love me forever. Somebody loving me forever. Somebody gonna love me forever.
Shit. I swear to God.
Yeah, but so to answer your question, like when I realized it wasn't gonna work out, it was, I can't remember like a pinpoint date, but like I could tell, like, after we got engaged, and you know, like six to 9 months after that, we were just like slowly growing apart. Like when it was coming to like, one of her biggest pain points is that I play a lot of video games, and like that's part of like my outside brand. Like my normal job, like I'm a video game streamer, like I have a personal brand and things like that, so like I have obligations to do these things, so like I'm up late at night, and I don't always go to bed with her, and that was a big pain point, which is totally understandable. Like I would go to bed with her maybe once or twice a week, so like looking back, like I totally understand that, you know.
That's
what I mean,
painful. That's
she was very valid with that. But like, and it got to the point where there was so much pressure behind that, and like our intimacy levels like dropped significantly, and like we wouldn't even like really cuddle with each other, things like that. And then you like, you could just tell, like when people used to meet us, they'd be like, oh yeah, like Bo and Nikki, like they're like that's like the it couple, like that's like goals.
Yeah,
right?
That's what it's, and honestly, that's what it looked like too. That's exactly what it looks like. Or at least it looked like to me and everyone, like everyone else around too.
Yeah, but I think it got to the point where like both of us felt like the things were kind of going south, and but we had to keep up. We had the pressure to keep up like that image of us that like when people see us, they're like, oh yeah, that's those two. You know what I mean? So, so yeah, I think I kind of realized I guess the day that I realized that I had to say something or like call off the engagement was we went back home we always drive back home for Christmas. And you know, it was just a different feel that Christmas, and it just didn't feel like, when it came to connecting with families and things like that, it just wasn't the same, and I didn't enjoy traveling with her. Like we did like a bunch, we would like, one of our main things that got us really close was doing adventures. Like we were always down for things, and like I just didn't enjoy it as much. And then a month later in January, she flew back home because they were getting bridesmaids dresses. And after that weekend, like it hit me, I was like, the planning of the wedding, like it's like coming, we already sent out save the dates, and it was just like the pressure was like mounting. I was like, I have to say something because I don't feel like I can do this. I remember I called my mom, like I called my dad. I was like, I don't know what to do. And when she came back, like I sat her down after work and I told her like how I was feeling about everything. And you kind of like, so then we had to send out notes to everybody.
Bro, this hurts. This hurts my soul.
I
right
know.
Now.
Like the whole situation, like from both sides. From both sides. Like, I can be in her shoes and I can be in your shoes, because I don't think gender matters in this situation. It's just like when you're not feeling it, and like.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I hurt because, like you said, I know both of you.
Yeah.
And I remember when you told me, and I was like, oh, shit. And honestly, I'm going to be 100 with you. I was like, oh, Bo fucked up. I was like, oh, Bo fucked up. Bo did some shit that he wasn't supposed to be doing. And that's what happened. I had, because, like you said, the way you guys appeared to the public was this almost pseudo perfect type of relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, Bo definitely did some shit. And like, that's what it
is.
It
was the guy's fault.
I mean, you the man. Bo.
Let's be honest.
But also, you the man, though. So I was like, hey, Bo out here, dog. But like, not like a braggadocious way, like, but seriously, I thought, oh man, that's tough. I'm a little bit, when you told me, I was like, damn man, I wanted to hang out with you more, but I also didn't want, because I didn't know the situation. You're like, oh, we're having a break, we're going on a break, and I was like, I didn't want to influence that type of you know, thing, and I didn't know where you were at in your mind. Like I know that sounds, it's such a difficult type of situation you guys were put in emotionally, and the fact that you were living out here
for her, and like and you stayed because I would probably like pack up my shit and go and be like, fuck y'all, you know, but you stayed, which is like cool too.
We lived together for like 2 more months after that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
It's just like, so
I can, it takes, like, I don't know who said it. Like, it was one celebrity a long time ago. She said, consciously uncoupling. And I think that's what it is. Like, when you break up and then you're like, kind of in a friendly way or whatever, you try to like separate. It takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes some conversations and stuff like that. You're like, yeah, you're consciously uncoupling.
Uncoupling. I like
you're
that.
Uncoupling.
Yeah, we did that, Yurti, but yeah. We were long distance.
Yeah. But it was like definitely like you have conversations like, all right, we're about to break up or like we just broke up and like, how are we handling this? Like, yeah, consciously uncoupling or just uncoupling is definitely a fucking term we should use. Yeah.
What was the toughest part about it, Bo?
A couple things that like came to mind was, you know, her feeling. She had no idea like I was feeling this way. Like, obviously you can tell when things are not going right, but I could tell she was very
that bad. Like, you just probably think it's fixable or whatever. Yeah,
I could tell that she was very blindsided, and it's like, I, you know, I like loved her very much. Like, seeing somebody that, you know, you thought you're gonna spend the rest of your life with like shattered, it was like the worst thing, because like Jerry knows me, like I never want to put pain on anybody. Like, that's nobody. That's like my biggest fear, is just hurting people in general. But you know, when you're engaged in things like that, it's bigger than us at that point, because it's like I developed a relationship with like her family, because that was important to me, her friends and things like that. She developed, you know, relationships with my family. She got very close to my family, my sister especially. And so it's, I feel like not only was I, you know, disappointing her, but like her family as well. You know,
your family and friends.
Yeah. And I know they're all like heartbroken by the situation. And like, I kept replaying the conversation of, I'm kind of old fashioned. So I made sure to ask her dad's, like, for her dad's blessing. So I went over to their house and like I brought the ring over, and like I had like a 3-hour conversation with her dad and her mom. And I remember that conversation so vividly. Like, I don't remember anything. Like, I remember like everything about that. And it was just like the thought of like starting over again, like the anxiety of all that. But like, I remember like that conversation with her dad was like the thing that kept replaying me the most, because I promised him, like, you know, I would take care of his daughter forever, like through anything and things like that.
Promises don't always work out the same way we thought.
Yeah. I feel like I let them down.
It's not that you didn't take care of her. Right.
I think you actually did.
You took care of her feelings. Yeah. You did actually take care of her, because that honesty is necessary, right? And you know, I was never engaged, but I was very close to it. So I almost bought a ring, and I actually went to the girl's parents also.
Yep.
Parents hated me, so it didn't matter. But like, you know, like, but I understand what you're saying, and you know, breaking up with her was like devastating to my family too, right? Not her parents, but her family. The rest of the family loved me, and it was like, it's almost like you said, you're like, you're breaking the whole family up. It's like everyone's emotionally involved,
right?
And that almost like shame, to just be honest and be, you know, be real about it. Is hard, and a lot of people I think go through with it.
A lot of people
are in that situation before they get married or before they have kids, and they still go through with it,
and then they file for divorce 10 years later, or they don't ever, because then they have
or
kids,
they don't, and then they're just or they're miserable, you know what. But like, I think it's admirable of you and her to accept it and move on from it, and you know, I think that's it's a lesson you learn, man. That's a tough lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, most people won't go through this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like you're definitely getting a lot of brownie points from me for just being honest, coming up front and saying like, listen, this is the situation. This is what it is. Instead of like, you know, maybe something, because like, fuck that. Okay. We were just having an episode about fuck boys and stuff like that. And like, we're not about that life. We're not about that life. Okay. It's not. So like, I give you a lot of credit, but I want to know, this is a question of mine that like I'm trying to answer for myself, because the more men I meet, the more I realize that y'all ain't shit. Okay. And I'm just like, single forever?
We not.
And
it's possible. I don't know if you like cats, but you might want to start investing. Likely.
Like, heavily likely you might be
single. Hey, I'm after this episode, I'm going to get a dog. Fuck that. Okay, because fuck this.
They'll love you forever.
Yeah, they will love me forever. And I will have somebody to spend my time with, you know?
Right.
But my question for you is, like, what made you decide that, like, she's the one? Or like, when did you decide? Like, I don't know how that happens. Like, I don't know how you guys go about like, okay, I'm gonna marry this girl. Like, what happens internally? Because I don't think that's an internal decision for y'all.
Like, yeah. Jerry sips, so like, how Jerry did I, how did I drink. Know?
He's like, I'm not like, answering it, that.
So you're asking like, how did I know I was gonna propose to her? I yeah. wanted to marry her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good question. I think that I
telling you that's not an internal thing, probably. Like you don't, yeah. guys just don't like. Oh, I'm gonna marry her. No, it's probably like, yeah, it's probably time. It's a good idea today.
No, it's yeah, not that nah, bad. That. Come on, Yuzi.
So I a couple things. So like when it came to like checking the boxes of like. Mm. Do I think she would be a good mother to my kids? Like, I think she's eventually, like, whoever she marries, like, she's going to be a fantastic mom. Like, mm-hmm. and did she connect well with my family? She definitely did. And, like, we had enough interest to where we were alike, but very much different to where, like, I could learn things from her. Mm-hmm. But then, like, from a, yeah, exactly. But from an overall, like, emotional standpoint, like, I've never... like to that point looked at somebody and just like completely just like mentally blacked out. And I was just mm-hmm. like, I can't think of things. And sometimes I would look at her and I'd just be like, I can't believe you're here. Like
my girl,
they're like my mine, girl. Right?
Mine,
we went to
it. I got you. Dog.
We went to a Cubs game. We went to a Chicago Cubs game and she didn't really have Cubs stuff to wear. So I gave her one of my personalized jerseys like with my name on my back on the back and things like that, and she's walking around the stadium and she's got my name on her back and I'm like,
he knew it. Hey, he knew yeah, it like, he was like,
I think
hey,
that I was right. I was like I'm looking at everybody in the stadium and then I see her and I'm like, not only is like she the finest girl in the stadium, but she's got my name on her back, right? So like I think all of that was just like I couldn't be without her, you know. That's yeah. how I felt. And I think that's how I knew for sure.
It's so weird to me that like you go from not you personally, but like people that, you know, go from, I can't live without you to like, I can't be with you anymore.
Like, yeah. We were like that. Your team, we were like that. Think about it. We were inseparable. Initially, yo, for real. Like
we spent a lot of time together. Yes. Yes, we did spend a lot of time together.
But it wasn't just the spending of the time. I'm talking about the emotions that we had.
Yeah.
And the like desire just yeah. to always be like, yo, like, you know, and maybe it was sexual. I don't know. Maybe ours was sexual. But there was a draw. There was a crazy,
there was a
like,
crazy draw. Yeah.
Crazy magnetic draw. Yeah. And then at some point, that shit just. It didn't die. It didn't really die. It just, we had a situation.
I think we realized that we needed more than that for things
yes.
to work.
For
long
a real
term.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
we were both stubborn in like certain areas to, I was like, I know that I was like stubborn in my ways. And I was like, I'm not changing this in order to like fit in a relationship with you because like,
and same for me.
Yeah, and
right?
same for you. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not asking you to do it for me. So because we're stubborn in our ways and we didn't like want to change things in our lives or whatever, it was like, all right, it's better we part than like try to make it work and then down the road be like,
fail anyway.
You ain't this
why
for me or you
that?
Ain't this yeah. for me. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Why did I even do that in the first place?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
no, there's a lot of truth to that. And I think that kind of boiled down to like in the end, like our lifestyles are very different and things that I wanted to do, she wanted to do didn't really align. And mm-hmm. I think it got to the point where, and I'll take 90% of the fault for this. And like her and I have talked about this is that like towards the end, I was like so fresh in the city. Like it got to the point where she was my priority before I moved here. And then when I moved here and I was experiencing so many things, it was like she didn't feel as like I was making her as much of a priority, and that was like a major pain point. And like I was doing so many things and I was having so much fun, like I was playing a bunch of sports, and like I was like overbooking myself to where like I didn't allocate enough time for her. And I think that in the end is what started like the snowball,
the spiral.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, like, what I have a point to, like, well, maybe I'm just imagining that I would handle a situation like this way and it's going to be perfect. But, like, I think it's important to have enough, like, self-awareness or just, like, awareness of life altogether to realize that this person just moved into a new country. Like, because I thought about it when Jerry and I were talking about possibly moving, like, Jerry moving to London. I was like, all right, probably for first year or two, he's going to be out building his thing in London. And I'm going to be his guide. And we're not necessarily like spending a lot of time together, but like I had to understand that it's stressful to be in a new place. It's stressful to make new friends. It's stressful to find like a job or like just realize where to get fucking milk, you know? Like I've been through that, so I knew it. So I was like, if Jerry's going to move here, we're probably going to be like going through that, and I'm going to have to allow the space for that to happen. Like I was already adjusting my emotions and my needs of, you know, being his priority or whatever before he even fucking moved anywhere. But so to your point, you know, and it's like, I'm not picking sides, but I think it could have been different in your situation if she was more aware of the fact that you just moved across and, you know, she's doing a certain way and you maybe not. And like, you have to do certain things to build yourself. And like, so like, you know, priorities shift when you live through your life all the time. With age, you start caring about your family more, you know, or like you start caring about giving back and whatever. Priorities shift. And when you're in a relationship, and especially when you're thinking long-term marriage for everything, that priority shift is going to happen all the time, you know? Yeah. And I think the most important thing is like the communication is to say like, hey, listen, this is important for me right now. And it's going to be important for the next 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, you know, and then you have another conversation. So like that, I think to me personally, those kind of conversations and awareness of what's going on and like understanding that you're not limiting another person's like freedom with your selfish needs is what's going to make a relationship work. So
yeah, no, I think you
guys ever had those conversations actually?
Did you? Yeah.
You said it was a pain point. Did she like bring it up like, yo, bruh?
So, like, yeah, like, to your point, I think she's very structured. Like, when we go on vacations, she would have an itinerary of, like, what we were doing and things like that. Me, I just fly by the seat of my pants. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in my day. So, like,
he's a free bird, baby.
Yeah,
free
my bird. Day, my life is so random. Like, you never
so know.
So,
I'm glad that you're on a podcast that we're able to, like, track you down and, like,
yeah,
stick
exactly.
you down
yeah,
for an
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just gotta, like, reel me in. But I think because she is that way, I think when it comes to me, like, shifting, like, seeing me in person, like, shifting my focus to a bunch of other things, like, since she's very, like, structured, like, very put stuck together in her ways, it's, like, she would probably tell you the same thing that, and she told me the same thing that it's hard for her to, like, deviate plans, like, say we go somewhere and we have to, like, change plans or something, like, that's sometimes was hard for
her
to process. But it's fine because, like, you know, everyone's brain is wired different.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
me, like, I could care less. Like, if, like, I got to deviate, but, like, some people is different. It's totally fine. But I think you hit the nail on the head in that regard. Like, if she could have, you know, kind of realized that I do need some space to, like, figure out and like build my own network and stuff out here, because she already had that, and like doing things on my own out here, experiencing some things on my own, I think if she would have realized that, that would have been a little bit better. But at the same time, like, I could have done a much better job when it comes to communicating my feelings and my thoughts on certain situations. But I was so scared to like rock the boat because like I moved here and it was just like, if we don't work, I don't have anybody. So I was like, I should have been more like forthcoming with my feelings. And it got to a point where like I was finding reasons to like leave the house and to like be away from her, you know what I mean? Because like I felt like I felt like to her, I needed to be with her all the time. Like
all the time.
Yeah. But like I work at home. So like I was trying to get out of the house. Like,
yeah.
So like to her, her coming home from work and me wanting to leave, like when we get home, there's just like no quality time. And like that's one of her biggest love languages was like quality time. And it was just like I couldn't provide that for her.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
All the time because I was doing a lot of things. So like communication on my end could have been better, I think.
Go ahead, Jerry, because you have a question.
I was going to say, I used to do that shit to your T, kind of like, you know, like, unfortunately, like we were in long distance, so. And we were 5 hours apart.
Yeah,
right?
Time-wise,
time zone
yeah.
difference. And she would always give me that shit. Like, yo, you are not prioritizing our relationship.
Mm.
You're when you have free time during the times that we can speak, you are deciding to do other things.
Mm.
And I wasn't doing it for the same reasons as you, but I also was very stubborn, right? So I was also very like, all right, I planned on doing this, this, and this. You're not going to stop me from doing it.
Who the fuck hurt you?
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I am. I'm you know, I guess I've been alone so long in my life.
Mm.
And for like most of the time, even when I'm with someone, I'm alone. Like I'm doing everything on my own forever that I never really think about another person. Typically.
Mm.
So I kind of did that. I kind of did that to her. Right. Like it was just so I understand what you're saying when you say like the priorities. You knew you needed something. You knew you needed something. And you did what you didn't quite know was how much of what you needed was going to negatively affect her.
Right.
How much of it. Right. Is going to negatively affect her. And like we both, I guess me and you both didn't have the ability to communicate that properly to the person that we were with.
Fuck you. Yep. Fuck you. Jerry, you know you can talk to me.
Yeah, I know that now. Your T.
You knew that then, too.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
But it's hard.
For some reason,
it's,
like,
hard to,
it's hard
to come out and say things like that because you don't want to disappoint the other person. And I kind of felt scared to like say something because like if I mentioned, you know, I feel like I'm missing something, then I don't want her to take it as like she's not enough.
Yeah,
that's insecurity, like bringing out insecurities in her.
Yeah,
right?
Like, and like that wasn't the case at all, like at all. Like, I don't know if her and I have ever discussed that part, but it wasn't like she wasn't enough for me. But it was just like I like doing a bunch of things that she necessarily like. I like to go out late, and like she doesn't like to do that.
Bo out here.
So like when it comes to that, or like being in like big group settings, like that kind of she had like some social anxieties, which is like. Totally fine. My sister is like the exact same way. So like, but I like being in big groups and things like that. And that was sometimes hard for her. So like, I would try and like, you know, like my birthday, for example, like my birthday, I had a big birthday party and like, there's just a lot of people. And like, since she's my girl, like everyone wants to talk to her too. And that can be a lot, you know what I mean? But me, I'm thriving. Like I'm like, right? So like,
so
we just had some differences. Yeah.
Bo, tell me. How do you feel about getting engaged again? Like, what does that, like, does that idea of, like, meeting somebody and potentially getting engaged again, like, how does that feel? Brings any, like, things up?
I don't think that, like, I have anxieties or would be scared to do it again. I think I'm more prepared now of, like, what it all means. Like, when it comes, like, being engaged and, like, you know, being married and things like that, like I've been through the initial like rough draft of it, so like now if I end up finding somebody again that I want to, you know, get engaged, I would make sure I properly vet, like I could have had more conversations about like future things. Like I didn't even think about things like, you know, our finances together, like what that looks like. We didn't even know like what each other's credit scores were, because like you gotta buy a house or something.
Wilding?
Yeah, like we just didn't like have those conversations that I think
it's
needed
tough.
To happen
those tough
before
those are tough.
You get engaged, and like
I
that's
was
something
gonna
that
say.
I would definitely do in the future. Like I was just like in love, and I was like, this girl.
I was gonna say because there's like a thing.
I need it. I want it.
There's a thing when we date, like. When you start dating somebody, right, you meet people, you're having fun, and the last thing you want to do is have those conversations. How many kids do you want to get? Do you want to get married at all? What about buying a house? Everybody's like, oh, don't be a party pooper because you're asking these questions. Girls tend to do this. You know, they tend to make that first move and be like, so do you want to get married? Do you want to blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And guys like, oh, my God. The dude gets all nervous. Like, oh, shit, bitch. Like,
we ain't even together yet. That, we're just hanging out.
But then your story tells me that you should have those conversations on the very first few dates because
I'm not saying that.
I mean, I know, like, first few dates.
Okay. Yeah. When? Then when?
If someone hit me like, Bo, what's your credit score first day? I'm like, whoa, what are you saying?
No, it needs to be when you're dating, when you're officially dating. Like when you've decided you're going to be exclusive and you're like, yo, I fuck with you.
So wait, okay, hold on. So you sit, you know, you talk, you date, you go through all the situationship stages and you decide they're like, all right, we're not fucking anybody else. We're together in it. You know, everybody knows. So now you're like already deep in it. And then you're like, you're okay, so let's talk about our like relationship down the road. Oh, it's not working out. Okay, so let's break up. Instead of like saving the time and energy, let's figure this out within the first like a month or two.
It's too quick. This is why it's too quick, your T. There are certain things in your life that are a little bit more intimate to you than telling some random ass person you just met that you don't have a lot of emotional connection with or a lot of trust with to tell them a bunch of shit about you. And then it changes their engagement on you, right? So if I tell a girl how much money I make, I guarantee it changes the way they talk to me, right?
Yeah, but we're not talking only about financial.
But I'm saying that's part of it, though, right? Yeah. So if I tell a girl that I don't want to have kids, it changes the way they talk to me immediately.
Yeah.
If I tell a girl I don't ever want to get married.
That's the point.
It's not
instantly on that date. But you don't go anywhere further together anymore.
But that's like a job interview though.
It doesn't make sense though. The reason it doesn't make sense is because people are fluid once they actually fuck with you, right? Like I never thought I would move to London. He probably never thought he would move somewhere for a girl, right? I never thought I would move somewhere for a girl, but I was considering it, right? If you would have told me, hey man, I'm probably gonna have to lead a country one day, and like you're gonna have to follow me, I'd have been like, bye, bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, sometimes it's more fluid than that.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to have a connection with someone to say, I could compromise on that. I never wanted kids. Yeah. But when I was with my ex, I decided, fuck it. She wants kids. I guess I'll do it.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what
I mean. Right. So like you can't just like you can't put all that pressure on the first date. Like, yo, this is what I want. This is what you want. But if you have deal breakers, you should lay them out. Mm. If you got deal breakers, you can be like, yo, listen. If you don't do this or it's not this, I can't fuck with you. That's cool.
Yeah.
But like just like indulging all the information immediately, that's crazy.
As you and plus like as you're in a relationship with somebody, like you kind of grow together as like a together, right? Yeah. So then your priorities and like your mindset kind of changes. Like she never thought that she would get married. And she also like for example grew up with like she was a big cat person and then at the end she loved dogs. And like when it came to kids, like her family never thought that like she would have kids, but like we ended up talking about like how many like we would want. So like over the course of being with somebody and you know, you develop love and you see what makes them happy and it's like compromise, like you would do things to make them happy, like kids, for example, like stuff like that. So things can change.
Bo and I think agree on this, like, because like I've had too many situations where, like, I've had girls like interrogate me on dates. You know what I'm saying? Like straight up in interrogation. And I'm like, yo, what if I start asking you questions that, like, most of the time they won't like it. Like the type of questions I'm gonna ask them about themselves.
Yeah.
They're gonna be a little insecure about it. And a little bit like, whoa. They'll be like, well, why do you want to know that? I'm like, well, this is what's important to me.
Mm.
You talking about that shit that's important to you. This is what's important to me. So I'm like, nah, I need to know this.
And then
they get uncomfortable, right? So like, I think you have to draw the line somewhere, right? There has to be some line. But like, yeah, deal breakers, cool. Like, drop them on a table right now. But if it's something that is fluid and it's very sensitive, it's very personal.
Just a disclaimer, I don't ask these questions and dates. I take forever. I take forever until I'm like, oh, it's time for me to save your number? Okay.
Did we even, I mean, we never talked about kids. But Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we
not until after we stopped dating.
No, we never talked about having kids. We talked about what do you feel about it? Like, where's your head at? We had a few of those conversations, not like too many, because I think Jared and I were always very, very open and honest about everything, and a lot of things just came up in the middle of like random conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. We were just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. We agree on that. So let's move on, you know, or like whatever.
Right.
So we never had like a sit down conversations about many things. Well, apart from moving to London or moving to UK or US. I was going to ask you something, Bo, but I forgot now that you're.
You can't be forgetting shit. You're too. But I mean, Bo, you know, one thing I want to say is, what's the biggest thing you learned about this situation that you had? Like, what is the biggest takeaway that you would give advice to someone who decides that they want to get engaged or they want to get married or whatever it is? What's the biggest takeaway that you got from this?
That you can't be afraid to you know, really express how you feel, and you also can't apologize or feel bad for the way that you feel. Like, for a long time, I felt bad.
Advice.
Yeah, I felt bad because of how I felt in the situation, like my feelings towards like her and like how things, I don't know, like were progressing, and like I didn't want to rock the boat. And I think on her side too, like she was very scared to come to me with things, I think, because she also didn't want to rock the boat and you know, things like that. So I think like overall communication, like I realized what I needed to do differently when it comes to making sure that I communicate my feelings effectively in a better manner. But at the same time, like I think back and I couldn't remember the last time where I just did like a check-in on her, for example, to be like, hey, how are you doing? You know what I mean? Like outside of like, how is work and all that BS, how are you like as you, and like, how are you feeling like mentally? And I didn't realize mental health was such a big thing. Like I see a therapist, like not a ton of people know that, but like I see a therapist. I never would have thought of doing that before.
I can tell you seeing a therapist. I can tell you seeing a therapist just because the way you're communicating about this topic altogether.
How long? Wait. How long, Bo?
How long have I been seeing one?
Yeah.
Oh, over a year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been.
I can tell you seeing
one. Mine's been 2 years. Yeah. Mine's been almost 2 years now. Also, mine's been almost 2 years.
To me, it's like so.
It's tough. It's tough to even think about doing, like you said, like. It's like, oh,
to therapist,
we black, bruh.
Yeah. And like, I guess the, like that. Communication. And the last thing that I would say is like making sure that you're, you know, carving out and like prioritizing, not like making sure that the other person feels like a priority, and you make a point to like make sure you're allocating time for them. And
but you're actually in a relationship with them.
Yeah. That's probably my biggest regret about that situation, is like the effective communication and prioritizing time for her. I think.
Yeah. What if somebody's love language is not quality time, but like something else? Then what are you gonna do then?
we did all those things when it came to like the Enneagrams or where
I don't
it gives
know
you like a something where it gives you like a number of what personality you are and like how to love
somebody.
Oh,
the personality
like
traits and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So we did like the love language thing. We did like the Enneagram things to where so she like, and it described me to a T, and I felt like attacked of like how I am.
She was like, hey, bro, listen.
I was like, hey, look here. Who, I don't know.
I'm going to fuck somebody up, bro. Like, who wrote this, bro? Who wrote this?
Right, they're like,
they need to see me, bro. They need to see me, bro.
Right, one of the things that has anxiety with like making plans. I was like, hey, watch your mouth, like whoever is like, hey man, chill out.
When in your relationship did you do that? Like, did you do those tests? Like after you split, or
we did some like couples. We did some like couples counseling and or like couples therapy, I guess. And that was one of our things, tasks to like fill out this thing, and then we analyzed it together with our couples therapist.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, like how spot on, like, and they're like, if a seven, I think she was like a two, so she was very like logical and like things yeah. like that. So it was like, this is where you guys could butt heads. And I was like, man, it's like this person has a camera in our house. And, like, and that was exactly what the hell is going on.
It's very easy. Yeah, it's man. Crazy. It's actually pretty easy. These behavioral things are extremely easy to like understand once you yeah. like get a hold of it yeah. and like understand what your personality traits are and how that projects to other people who have different personalities. I do it in a lot of management. I do a lot of management training that does this mm-hmm. exact same thing. I mean, like, it's the same thing, but just it's relationship. Everything's relationships, right? Yeah. So like
right.
relationship building and trust, but it's different when it's your girl. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a different yeah. feeling when it's like intimate and it's romantic. And you're yeah. like, oh my God. I, like you said, I feel attacked.
Yeah.
Don't come at me like that.
It was wild.
Like, oh, I'm the man and I can't be having this and this and this and this.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Bo, I don't know much about you and Jerry is not the best at introducing you, but tell me, what is it that you do for a living? And it's also time for you to like promote yourself. So tell me what you do for a living and where our listeners can find you.
Wait. Before you do that, don't be dogging me like that, because I ain't like bad at introducing nobody.
Jerry,
like,
you should have communication, and that's clear.
I'm not,
that's said.
You know what's
done.
Funny about that? That's not true.
Yeah,
like,
it
you're
is.
The only, you're t- hey, yo, listen, Bo. You're the only person I know on earth that tells me I'm bad at communication.
Because like, nobody's having a fucking met, podcast but, with you. Nobody sucked your dick, and you know, it's just like.
Oh.
Like, it's
hey,
said and done.
A lot of people suck my dick. Hey, hold on. Let's get this straight.
Your shit of communication, dick, and we can have a whole episode on this because I got receipts, motherfucker. I got receipts.
Hey, anyway, Bo. So, anyway, Bo, tell us about yourself. Tell us what you do for a living and how the people can get a hold of you, you know what I'm saying, on our podcast.
Yeah, man. So, to your team's point, I always say, like, I'm a horrible texter, but, like, those people are the best people in person. So, like, I'm fantastic in person. Like, or, like, live, like,
face
to face.
You've been great at texting with me, like, so far, so I have no complaints.
Yeah, like, most people, it's, like, 4 to 6 business days. Like,
hold on.
Bo's the worst.
I'm not talking about replying to text messages, because Jerry is whatever on that. Like, he's sometimes good, he's... Communication is a whole different thing than what I mean. It's like he.
I told you to this shit. No,
you.
You told,
no, you're
I told
missing
you on a
out of like communicating parts of like what needs to be communicated and like something. And we're not gonna get into this right now because it's getting
man,
petty
listen,
as
bro.
Fuck.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. I told you to what it was. I told her sometimes I just don't be giving a fuck what she's talking about. So, like I don't be paying attention. Like,
that's true. Okay.
Anyway, so, Bo,
anyway, yes.
Tell us, bro. What's
so,
up?
So I work in digital marketing. I work at a company called CarGurus. So, I basically help, like dealerships market their vehicles. When it comes to like, you know, Facebook ads or, you know, retargeting ads, things like that. But you know, on the side, outside of that, you know, I play a lot of video games, professional gamer. So I stream games on Twitch.
What does that mean, professional gamer? Like, what does it, how does
so
that
like
work?
So like my friends and I, we play in leagues, paid leagues. But I also have like gaming sponsorships, like Technisport, for example, that, you know, I sit in their chairs and like promote them like on stream. Yeah. Same with like headsets and stuff that I have here as well. But on Instagram, I like hate the title, but like you could label me as an Instagram influencer, which is horrible.
He is an Instagram influencer, which is
like the most annoying thing. Cause like when I fought getting an Instagram for the longest time, I was like one of my last friends to get it. If you scroll down on my Instagram feed, the first picture I ever posted was Betty White eating a hot dog. And, like, that's how much you just know I didn't give a shit about Instagram. But like on Twitter, like I'm decently funny on Twitter. So like, companies started sending me shirts and then I started wearing them on my, posting them on Instagram. And then one thing led to another. And I had like a video on Good Morning America once. And,
congratulations.
So yeah, it was a Red Sox parade. Someone threw a beer and hit the coach's daughter, whatever. But, and then like I developed sponsorships like through gaming and partnerships like that. So like Jerry did a shoot with me for Legends. I'm wearing one of their shirts right now. So like, you know, it's just kind of snowballed. And
yeah, snowballed
like
one
that.
After another. Yeah. Okay. So what are your handles? Like where can people find you or buy from you or, you know, book you for sponsorships?
Yeah. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at It's Botilly, so ItsBotilly. Woo-hoo. My friends always make fun of me because I always add like the swipe up feature for things that I'm promoting. but on Twitter, you can find me at Botilly, and same with like Twitch and YouTube, all Botilly. So okay. Yeah, I'm easy to find.
Amazing, amazing.
Sometimes I'm graced with his presence and get to play Call of Duty. It's been a long time since we played together.
Yes,
we out here.
Now we have a little, what's it called?
The book?
No,
the book?
No. I went blank on the word. No, we have a routine,
ritual.
A ritual. I was like, what the fuck am I trying to say?
We sacrifice baby goats on our podcast.
Perfect.
Maybe Jerry does. I don't. Peter
don't be mad at me, bro. I'm joking.
I have a book. It's called A Beginner's Guide to the Universe. It's full of quotes. And when we have on every episode, actually, at the end of an episode, we just read a quote and it usually sums up everything we talked about, which is like mad crazy because like it's just okay. Random. Wow. So I'm going to flip through pages and I'm going to ask you to like say stop. And then I'm going to read a quote on that page. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
Can you see
it?
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Stop. Okay. Shit. We need another one because there's no quotes here. It's like a story.
Okay.
Let's do it again.
That never happens. That absolutely never happens.
Stop.
Okay. So left or right?
I am right-handed. So let's go right.
So right. Okay. Top, middle, or bottom? Oh, there's four quotes. So
like being on the Ooh. Bottom. I'm just saying.
wait. Bo, you a bottom dog?
I mean to start to like get in.
Hey, sometimes you like being on the you move up to the top.
It's so
crazy. So bottom?
Bottom. There's like, four on the page.
There's four.
Oh,
so like,
sorry. Bottom.
Okay.
Bottom.
Jerry, you're gonna be surprised. It's one sentence.
That's crazy.
Usually these quotes are like long and we gotta read like
she's
three
like
times.
Read. And you know your T don't speak English and shit, so that shit is hard for her to read.
I'm like, oh shit, I gotta read now. Like, okay. So it's really interesting. It's one sentence and it says, "Where you are is never who you are."
Damn.
I'm not getting
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Where you are is never who you are. Oh,
so
I get it.
Here's the thing. I get it.
Okay, tell me.
Can I start first?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we always try to interpret it, bro. So,
okay.
So where you are is never who you are. So like there are situations that you are going to live through in your life. You're mm-hmm. in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not specifically who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Right? There are moments that
or it could be a job
you
or
live through,
or
but
something.
It doesn't define
yeah.
you. Yeah, it doesn't define you as a person. It's really like, you know, you are yourself, and these are just moments.
These are just like circumstances or moments. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something I needed actually right now because I'm questioning my whole existence on this planet Earth.
I think it means like you're always changing. You're always developing. And,
okay.
You know, where you are right now is not where you're going to be, you know, a year from now. You know, we grow older and wiser. And older.
Yep. That is definitely.
And older. And older. And older. I feel older.
And
that's
older.
That's the one I feel. Like, older.
You feel
man.
Well. You should be feeling better, Jerry, because we got you on that Zenzino supplement.
That Zenzino.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're about to be publishing that. Hey, maybe Bo can do some promo for Zenzino.
Maybe he needs to become a client before he can promote anything.
Hey, he'll drink that shit and eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm fucking with it, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm always down to help.
I'll talk to you. Or Jerry, you can talk to him, actually.
Yeah, I'll talk to you, Bo. I'll hit you up.
But thank you, Bo. It was a pleasure to meet you. It's always interesting to see, like, who's going to be on our podcast because, like, Jerry's inviting his friends and I'm inviting my friends. So it's always, like, cool to see, like, how it's going to plan out, how we're going to talk. Mm-hmm. And it was a pleasure to meet you. I'm bummed that we can't, like, meet in person. And thank you for sharing your story, for telling our listeners and us like how you managed to go through a difficult situation in your life and like you went out of it and you're cool now and you're doing okay. So I'm going to say, you know, from this story, I learned that like regardless of what's happening, you have to be honest and you're going to be okay.
Facts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So
thanks again.
Boy. Yeah, thanks, Bo. I do appreciate you being on the podcast. Like I said, I thought of you immediately when me and Yurti first talking about having guests on. And yeah, I'm happy you were able to join us and have the conversation I really wanted to have with you. And this was a good one, man.
Yeah. It like came to my mind when we were talking yesterday. Like we were trying to like scramble to find things to talk about. I was like, let's just send it.
This is it.
Yeah, this is
just
good,
send,
yeah.
Hey, just send it, bro. Just send it.
Send it. Yeah, yeah, so. This was good. This was good. Yeah. This was good. Yeah. Great episode. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Another week of great conversations with my ex.
Thank you guys. I appreciate all the following, all the listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.